And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be continuing our series entitled 10 Scriptures You Will Almost Never Hear Preached in Churches Today. And as we continue, we've already covered the first three. Today, we're going to start with number 4. Ask yourself, why don't the preachers preach this today? Why is it they want us to remain ignorant? Or maybe they are the ones that are ignorant. Well, this will be so mighty today. Today we're going to be talking about who you are in Jesus Christ. And let me get right to it, friends. You are the seed of God. The seed? The seed? Well, that talks about in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, Abraham and his seed have a promise, don't they? Now, people tell me that's the Jews they're talking about. Well, the Jews weren't even around then. Abraham was a Babylonian. Yeah, he was a Babylonian. He left Ur and the Chaldees in Babylonia. But he was given a promise. And his seed was given a promise. Now, there's a physical seed and a spiritual seed. And this is where the breakdown comes. Because Christians always are talking about the seed, and they are referring to the seed of Abraham, which is in the flesh. But Jesus didn't talk about that much. He was concerned about the Spirit of God in a man. His Spirit. If you're in the kingdom of God, as we learned last week, then you have the seed. You are the seed. Now, I want to get real close to this. Now, first of all, turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, let's go to John 8, beginning with verse 31. And let's see about the seed. The seed. We're going to talk about that. Are you the seed of God? Are the Jews of today, physical Jews, the physical seed, is that the seed that he's talking about? Is that the ones that Jesus brought to himself as his children? His seed? Was Jesus the seed? Or was it Abraham? Oh, it gets confusing, doesn't it? Well, we're going to just dispel the illusions today and go right to the scriptures. The scripture that's almost never preached today, but you're going to learn about it and discover it. And the Holy Spirit is going to instruct you as I'm speaking, because I'm going to be reading the Bible. Jesus said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Who was he talking to now? The Jews who believed in him. Some Jews did believe on him. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Oh my. If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's the key now. Listen, you're going to know the truth now. Here's what Jesus says. But they answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Boy, these were the Jews that did not believe. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you'll continue in my word. And immediately they rejected his word. They said, we're Abraham's seed. You can't make us free. We're already free. We've never been in bondage to any man. Well, they were lying right away. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. You know, the Pharaoh had them in bondage. You know about that. They were lying. They're so proud, so arrogant, they were lying to Jesus. Right away, they're lying. Well, you don't lie to
to God, do you? You'll get it in spades. Well, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son of God, that is, abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He says, I have the right. I have the power to make you free. I know, now listen to this, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Ooh. Jesus is saying here, if I make you free, you're free indeed. And I'm telling you things that I learned from with the Father. I was with the Father. But you have not the Father, he said, because you don't have my word in you. That's how I know that you're not of me. I know that you're Abraham's seed. He's talking about the physical seed. Sure, you're of Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Who is their father then? If his father is God, and he was with God, and who was their father? Well, that was the devil. That was the serpent. And Jesus was telling them, you do that which you have seen. Your father's telling you what to do. And he's told you to kill me. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Oh my. They didn't want Jesus to be their father. They didn't want to have their word in him. They rejected him. They were not free. They were in bondage, he said. Whoever is in bondage to sin is in bondage. You're a servant of sin. So they said, Abraham is our father. There again, they were arrogant. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. If you were of Abraham, you would do what Abraham tells you to do. You would do what I tell you to do, that is, because I'm of God. Abraham didn't try to kill me. Abraham worshiped me, is what he's basically saying. Verse 41, Jesus told them, you do the works, the deeds, that is, you do the deeds of your father. He's telling them again, your father. I have a father in heaven, but you have a father here on earth. His name is Satan, is what he's telling them. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So now they first said we're of Abraham. Now they're saying we're of God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Wow. Jesus didn't come of his own. God sent him. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Verse 47 says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now, friends, do you see what Jesus is saying? They said, we're of Abraham. I know your physical heritage, but that doesn't make you of God. Remember when they went to the apostle John the Baptist, not the apostle, but John the Baptist. When they went to John the Baptist out in the desert to be baptized, and John says, you know, I know this is pretense. You're just pretending you want to be baptized by me. But you're not of God. He says, God doesn't need you, he told the Jews. Why, God can bring up from these rocks people to worship him. The Jews aren't so high and mighty. You're a nothing to God. He can bring up worshipers from these rocks. Well, that deflated them, didn't it? They're no better than a rock to God. As a sinner, they're not any better. Now, what does all this mean? It means the fact that the Jews were physically of Abraham can be traced all the way back, they claim, doesn't mean diddly. You know what diddly means here in Texas? It doesn't mean very much. You see, Jesus is looking for followers. He's looking for people who will obey him, who will listen to his words, have faith in him, and he will make them disciples indeed. And if you reject him and say, I don't want your words, I'm of God, not you. Oh, well, oh. The Muslims, that's what they say today. Jesus, yeah, we know you. You're number six in heaven or something. Muhammad's above you. And we know you didn't really die on the cross. But yeah, we believe in you, Jesus. No, they don't. Because he told them, I'm of God. I'm sent here from God. I and the Father are one. The Muslims say, no, you're not. They just made themselves into a Satan. They worship Satan. Whoever you're a servant of, well, what do you know? Now, this is an incredible thing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, this is my number one scripture. I love this whole chapter 3. Paul starts out saying, O foolish Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You foolish Galatian. That's like saying, you foolish American. Who's bewitched you? You listen to witchcraft that you shouldn't believe the truth. He says in verse 9 that if they have faith, they're blessed with faithful Abraham. He's talking to the Galatians. The Galatians are Greeks. The Greeks don't have Abraham, do they? Wasn't Abraham one of the first Jews? But these are Greeks, the Galatians. And Paul says, if you're of faith, you're blessed with Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. He says in verse 11, but no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Wow. For it is evident that the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The Jews said, we have the law. We have the covenant. That's fine. So what? That's not of faith. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law is accursed. Christians tell me today, well, the Jews still have the law. Well, that's nice. They're going to go straight to hell with that law. I have Christians say, I want to be under the law too. I want to go to a Messianic congregation. I want to become a new Jew. You want to be cursed by God then, do you? Well, they go, well, no. I'm just telling you, I want to believe in the law. I want to practice the law. I want to learn the law. The law's gone, my friends. That was the old covenant. Jesus has given us a new covenant. He has rescued you. You were perishing. But he's got something new for you. He's going to save you. Why does he do this? Verse 14 will explain why. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's it, folks. The blessing of Abraham, what was that? That his seed would be blessed, he and his seed. And that same blessing can come on you as a Gentile. If you're a German, American, Scandinavian, as I said, you can be a Norwegian, you can be an African, you can be from South and Central America, you can be a Jew. And you can have the blessing of Abraham if you have the faith in Jesus Christ so you can receive the promise of the Spirit. What is that promise? Jesus Christ. He'll come in and save you. Then you become a spiritual Jew, let's just say. A spiritual Jew. You'll be added to the tribes of the Jews. Now, don't think about the physical Jews. You're going to be in heaven. You're going to have a different body. I don't know what it's going to be like. Now, listen to verse 16. This is almighty. This is powerful. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Remember that back in Genesis? Abraham and his seed were given a promise. People write to me today. They say, Tex, you don't understand. Abraham and his seed received the promise. And that promise is that piece of land in Israel. What? That's the promise? Is that all they want? They can have that land. I don't want it. I'd rather be an American. We have a great country here. But not as great as heaven. Not as great as heavenly Jerusalem. That's where I really want to be. I'm here as a sojourner. I'm here as a pilgrim. I'm just passing through, folks. I want to go on to heaven. All the saints and prophets looked for a heavenly Jerusalem. And that's what we want too. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Abraham received a promise. You'll receive the promise. And people think it's land? Sure, he got the land. That's no problem. They got it for a while till they divorced themselves from God. If somebody came out and took your land away, maybe you own a piece of land there in Louisiana or down in Florida or up in Oklahoma here. It's only for a little while. People can take it away. Maybe you'll get sued. Maybe they'll find out that somebody 500 years ago owned the land. Wow. Maybe California was owned by Mexico. Maybe the Californians don't own it today. You ever thought about that? That's what the Jews said. They went into Israel and said, we own this land. Our forefathers had it, 2,000 years ago. What? They dispossessed the Palestinians. Can you do that? Well, I guess you can if you're a criminal. But God says, I've got something different for you. I've got a place called heaven. That's my kingdom. You want to be in that kingdom? I'll bring you into it. If you believe in me through faith, I'll take you to the kingdom. I'll go in your heart. You'll receive the kingdom immediately through me. He saith not, listen to this now, verse 16. He that is God saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. What did he say to Abraham when he was talking about seeds? Paul says, don't you understand? God was talking to Abraham, says, I'm going to give you and your seed this promise. And he was talking about the seed is Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? That's what you inherit. The Jews say, I want to inherit this land. I want to inherit this land. Abraham was given this promise of this land. Folks, that is weak. That's beggarly. That's nothing. Hey, why do they want the desert out there? I'll give them some land right here down in South Texas full of oil. I mean, they're finding more and more oil every day there. They got more oil, they say, in South Texas than they have across the globe. They got shale oil now. And over in the Gulf of Mexico, got so much oil, what can you do with it all? Black gold. That's what you want? We'll give you that black gold. Of course, then you die and go to hell, and what is it good for? You have the whole kingdom. What is it good for? You have the kingdom of man, of Satan. If that's what you're the servant of, that's what you inherit. That's your inheritance. But to Abraham, his seed was Jesus. And Jesus proceeded from Abraham. Read about his lineage in the Gospel of Matthew. And verse 18 says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. The Jews say, we have the law. We're circumcised. Well, you lost some foreskin. You better go back and find that foreskin. There are millions here on this planet that don't get circumcised. their heart is circumcised, the Bible says. Now you can be circumcised in the flesh or in the heart. It's in the heart that God wants the circumcision. You see how the Jews, everything points to the physical. The Jews say, we're going to inherit this earth. We will be the inheritors. This will be our promise, this earth. Wow. Yeah, the serpent will give you this earth. You can have it. Now, verse 26 is also important of Galatians chapter 3. It's talking about those who have faith in Jesus Christ. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By faith in Christ Jesus. Not by grace. You say, well, I'm saved by grace alone. Wait just a minute. Really? God gives his grace to you, but you have to have faith. If you have faith, then he will extend his grace to you. His love. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28. Now listen to this very, very carefully. The pastor will not preach this. In Baptist churches and Pentecostal, and they won't preach this to you, but I'm going to read it to you. It is so important. Galatians 3 verses 28 and 29 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Wait just a minute. We're all one? There's the Jew and the Gentile. That's two. What did I just read to you? You're talking about the flesh. God says, spiritually, you are one. But wait, I have a lot more money than my brother down the street. He lives in a little shack. I live in a mansion. When you're 80 and whatever years are up, friend, you're not going to be living in that mansion or that shack. Then you've got all eternity to spend either in hell or in heaven. But wait, Jews are better. Jews have the law. They have the circumcision. They're the seed. Well, I just read to you, Jesus is the seed. And all who have Jesus, all who have faith in Jesus have the promise. They're the seed. That's the seed. They said, we're of Abraham. And Jesus says, I know you're of that physical heritage, but you're not of God. If you were of God, you'd believe in me. Didn't I just read that to you back then? This is it, folks. This is the mighty thing of the Bible. It dispels all the other false ideas and conclusions. It doesn't matter about the nation of Israel and all that. And what all these Christians are telling you today about the Jews, it matters what this Bible says. And it says this, verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is what I call the conclusion of the whole matter. If you're Christ's, if you have Christ within, if you believe in Christ, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, a Jew or a Gentile. I don't care if you're a slave or you're free. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I don't care if you have a second grade education or you have a PhD. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You say, but I'm not a Jew. I can't be Abraham's seed. Shut up. Listen to God. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to yourself. You look in the mirror, you say, well, I'm a Chinese. I'm an Indonesian. I'm not Abraham's seed. Shut up. That's what the Bible says. If you are of Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. And you're an heir. You're an heir. You have heavenly Jerusalem. That's what Abraham looked for. Abraham didn't give one flip about a holy city here on earth. Here we have no continuing city. That's what it says in Hebrews 11 through 13. Here we have no continuing city. I was born in a little city of Port Neches, Texas, a little town, actually. I think they have 10,000 people there. I'm not going back. Oh, I'll go back to visit, I guess. Doesn't mean much to me now, but I'm sure looking forward to that heaven because I belong to Jesus. I'm Abraham's seed. And when I get to heaven, nobody's going to call me a Jew or a Gentile or anything else. I won't even look like that. I won't have a body as such. Jesus says we don't even know what we're going to look like in heaven. But we know we'll be like him. Isn't that great, my friends? Okay, now, let's move right from that to what is Jesus today? I just told you what your form is going to be. You don't know. I know you're going to be spirit. And God is a spirit too. The Bible tells us God is a spirit and we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Revelation 1, verses 10 through 18 is very important. You see, there, Jesus comes as something different. Now, when he knew John here on earth, he was in the form of a man. But he was resurrected, went to heaven, and you know, he looked different. This is an important distinction now. Let me read to you what he looked like. See, John thought he knew him. John was the beloved disciple. He was the one who put his head on Jesus' breast and worshiped him. And Jesus came to him again in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1, verses 10 through 18. Let's see what John found. Let's see how John saw Jesus. Revelation 1, verse 10 through 18. I was in the Spirit, verse 10, on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Verse 12 says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. It's capital S, by the way. That was Jesus. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. This Jesus is different, isn't he? This is a mighty Jesus. He's got seven stars in his right hand. And out of his mouth a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And you know, when you try to look into the sun and its strength, it'll blind you. Hair like wool. White. Feet like in the fine brass, but it was burning like in a furnace. And his voice like the sound of many waters. And John was astonished because he says, verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Man, that scared him. Talk about being scared. I mean, he fell at his feet. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Fear not. Wow. That was Jesus. That's not a man, is it? Oh, well, when I go to heaven, Jesus died as a Jew. He's going to be a Jew in heaven. Woo. I've already proven to you, you're not going to be a Jew or a Gentile. You're going to be a saint of God in heavenly Jerusalem. And God is a spirit. He's not a Jew. He's not a Gentile. He's not anything but a spirit. And you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And here we see Jesus, what Jesus looked like to John. Fear not, he said. How about that, folks? That's Jesus. He's mighty, isn't it? He really is. Hello again, folks. This is Tex Mars. What Bible would Jesus use? A lot of folks are upset about these new versions today. Oh, they're so crazy. They are. They're insane. They come out with a new one every month, it seems like. It's just Satan trying to confuse people. But listen, the King James Bible is still the Bible. Now, you don't believe me? Then get this book we're offering the ministry. It's entitled, Which Bible Would Jesus Use? By my good friend Jack McElroy. You know, he asked himself a question. What Bible is right for me? What Bible can I use that will be truthful? He was born and raised a Roman Catholic, but he converted to Christian. And he studied the Bibles, and he studied all about history, and he's written this great book. It's over 300 pages, and we want you to have it. Which Bible Would Jesus Use? By Jack McElroy. Now, to get this book, it's just $20 at $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. Ask for the book, Which Bible Would Jesus Use? And I think you're going to recognize it would be the King James Bible. But it explains why. And explains what's wrong with the other Bible versions. You're going to get a great blessing from Jack McElroy's book, Which Bible Would Jesus Use? Now, to get it, just phone us toll-free. It's $25. It includes shipping and handling. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Order there using your charge card. Phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673, or write to us, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, if you can afford it, please give us an added love gift. We have great, great expenses. And the summer is coming up on us, I'll tell you. It seems that some people forget us this summer. They forget us in the summers. Well, don't forget us. We need you, my friends. Now, I'm going to give you a little secret about this ministry. We lose money. We lose money in the books that we sell, the tapes we offer, the CDs, the videos. We just don't make a lot of money on them. We don't. They don't pay the bills. They don't pay the bills. But your love gifts take care of us. That's how we survive, your love gifts. Now, all of these books that I write and we offer from others, we don't make anything on them at all. What we do is get love gifts, and love gifts help to keep us going. If it weren't for your love gifts, we wouldn't be here. But as God would have it, he calls upon you to be our helper. He calls upon you. And he says, hey, give $5, $10, $100, whatever he says, you do it and you'll be happy. Okay? Whatever God tells you to give, please do so. Now, you can get this book without doing that. Just send $25. That'll cover shipping and handling. But if you can, add another $5 or $10 or as much as you can. We really appreciate it. And it will keep us, let's just say, alive here on earth. And we know we're alive forevermore in the New Jerusalem that is heaven. If you'll help us on earth, we'll keep going right here. Nobody will stop us. Nobody can stop us. Because we're in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about 10 scriptures you will almost never hear preached in churches today. How about this one? God does not hear sinners. You know, a lot of people ask me about that. They say, can God hear my prayer? I'm a sinner. Well, let's just go to John chapter 9, verse 31. Let's see what God says. You may be surprised about this. Okay, John 9, 31, verse 31, John chapter 9, says this, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Well, isn't that amazing? Wow. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. If you're a sinner, God's not going to hear you. So many people say, let's pray. They even have a day of prayer in Washington, D.C., and the president has a prayer breakfast. And, they invite Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and Hollywood types. And they all go there for the prayer breakfast. God's not there. God's not going to be there because they don't believe in him. They're sinners.
They're not worshipers of the true God. He won't hear them. Why should he? He's busy with you as his child. Now, a lot of folks don't like that. They say, well, wait just a minute. We're all a child of God. We were all born on this earth. And so God should treat us all the same. No, no, no. God doesn't treat us the same. That he has his own kingdom. He lives in his children. If he's not inside you, why should he pay any attention to you? But listen, all it takes is for you to pray, Lord, please come in my heart. Lord, I have faith in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please, please come in my heart. Live my life. I will obey you. I'm a sinner, Lord. Forgive my sins. And when you pray that sinner's prayer, I promise you Jesus will come in. He says so. Whatever you ask, you'll receive it if you're of Jesus. The kingdom of God will come into you and you'll be a new person. You'll be born again because you'll believe in Jesus Christ. And in truth, you will believe in him. But if you're a sinner, he's not going to listen to you. People say, well, but what if I was, you know, in Islam and I was fighting, you know, a war, a jihad against a certain people? Wouldn't he listen to me if I prayed to him? Why should he? Who are you praying to? Muhammad? Allah? He's not going to listen to you. This is an astonishing thing. God does not hear sinners, but he hears every person who calls on him with a broken heart of contrition, of repentance. And after that, you're his child. After that, he will listen to you every day. Everything you say, he wants you to pray to him. He'll inhabit your prayers. Wow. That's an amazing thing. A lot of people ask me about that, but I've just given you the answer. If you pray to God every day, but you're not a Christian, well, he's not going to obey you. I've heard of people say, I've got all these things that I own. I've got jewels and my wife's got a fur coat. And we have all of these earthly things because I pray every day. Well, are you a Christian? No, I'm not a Christian, but he still hears my prayers. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But the man who says, I'm not a good Christian. I've sinned. I know I've come short of what God would have me do. He's ready to hear your prayer. You say, but I still believe in Jesus. I have faith in him. I know he will answer my prayers because I have faith in him. You know, I was in a church one day, and the chaplain, or it was a chaplain at that time, a pastor was preaching, and he said, if you're a sinner, God wants you to call out to him, and he'll hear you. And there was a man right behind me. Boy, he must have been a sinner. He cried out, Lord Jesus, hear me. I think God already knew what he was going to say. He was going to say, please, listen to me, Lord. Save me. I am a sinner. I think from the moment he cried out, from the moment he intended to cry out, God heard his prayer. And he cried out, Lord, hear me. Please. And God saved him. I believe God can work that fast. People say, what works do I have to do? Don't I have to be a good man? Don't I have to give money to the church? Don't I have to light candles? Don't I have to, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ. You've got to have faith. So they say, well, I'm saved by grace. I know you are if you have faith. Faith comes before grace. Okay, that's it. God will hear you if you're a sinner, if you pray for him to forgive you of your sins. All right. Now, number seven, the seventh thing. Matthew 23, verses 31 through 35. Here's a scripture that very few pastors ever talk about. The Jews being serpents, the Jews being vipers. They say, no, the Jews have their old covenant and
chosen of God. They're chosen. They're great saints. They're pious. Not unless they have faith in Jesus Christ. Not unless they have faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about this. In Matthew 23, Jesus has a little dispute with the disciples of Satan. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," this is verse 29, "hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." Well, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. Well, no, we would have obeyed them. If we had been born back in those days. Jesus, verse 31 says, "Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how long can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Yes, you would, he said. Yes, you would have killed them. And of course, he was thinking, you're going to kill me too, eventually. Very soon, in fact. You're serpents. You're a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? They couldn't escape because they didn't believe in him. They were arrogant. They said, "We're Abraham's children. We're his seed." If you were of Abraham, you'd believe in me, Jesus said. Now, Scripture 8. People ask me all the time, what does that Jewish star stand for on their flag? That's the Star of David, isn't it? No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, Acts 7 will tell you about that star. Let's go to Acts 7, verses 40 through 43. In Acts, Stephen gives his great, great sermon and message to the Jews. They came upon Stephen preaching in the streets, and they said, Who authorized you? Who told you to preach this Jesus? That was what the Jews asked him. They were angry. They were furious because he was preaching Jesus. And he brought them back in their history, and he began to preach to them. He basically said, I'll tell you who told me to preach. He said, "You Jews, your fathers did not obey God. But they said unto Aaron in the desert," this is when God brought them out of Egypt, but there in the desert, they still wouldn't obey God. And when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, they said unto Aaron, verse 40, Acts 7, "Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." We don't know if he's ever going to return, they were saying. "We want gods. We want the gods of Egypt. Bring them back." And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. They just turned so quickly from God. Then they had the golden calf and they began to worship idols. Then God, verse 42 says, "Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven." That's the devils. The host of heaven, that's the ones that had rebelled. The host of heaven, that's those astrological deities. Venus and all those, you know, the Isis and Osiris and Horus, all the gods of Egypt that later became the gods of Greece and Rome and so forth. "Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beast and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea," verse 43 says, "ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rimthan, figures which ye made to worship them." Wow. "You took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rimthan." What star was that? The six-pointed star. They call it the Star of David, but it's not of David. Did you know the Jews did not have the six-pointed star as their own until the medieval ages when the Rothschilds came up with it? This is from the Kabbalah. This is the evil star, the six-pointed star that is coded 666. And verse 43 adds, I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Man, they had already been taken hostage, been captured by the Babylonians. But God says, I'll take you beyond Babylon. And he did, didn't he? And they were so angry, they picked up stones and they stoned Stephen to death. Okay, now another scripture. This is a scripture that is Revelation. The pastors just don't talk about this scripture today, but it's actually repeated in the Bible. God wants it known so much that he repeats it twice. It's in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. And let me read it from Revelation 2, verse 9. In chapter 2, verse 9, John is told this. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Wow. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He warns them of the synagogue of Satan. There are those who say they're Jews, but they're not. Nobody wants you to know about the synagogue of Satan today. They hide that fact. They don't want you to know that's in the Bible. That's in the book of Revelation. That's one of the things in the last days you've got to look out for. And because of the synagogue of Satan, many of you will suffer, go to prison. You'll receive great tribulation. You'll be tortured even to death. But stay standfast. I have for you a crown of life for he who overcomes. And then we get to the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 9 again. Let's go to verse 8. It says, I know thy works. Oh, God always knows our works, friends. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Wow. Think about that, friends. God knows this church, its works. And he says, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And you have a little strength, just a little strength. Friends, you don't need much. You don't need to be powerful. You don't need to be president or prime minister or king. You just need a little strength. You need the strength of the Holy Spirit, and he will give it to you. You've kept my word. That's it. You have not denied my name. I was just reading about a church down south here this last week. The church was a Pentecostal church, and they closed their doors and gave their church building over to the Muslims. The pastor and the church gave their church. They took the cross down, and they had an interfaith worship service. It was made up of two Episcopal priests, a United Church of Christ minister, a Methodist pastor, and three Southern Baptist pastors and a Presbyterian pastor. They all met together with the Muslims. They said, we worship the same God. You worship Allah, we call him God. It's all the same. And they all worship together after taking down the cross of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter to us if you Muslims don't believe in Jesus. That's okay. We all worship the same God. What do you mean? If you don't worship Jesus, you don't have God the Father. These are hypocrites. These are lying devils. I just read about that this very week in the newspapers. They didn't keep God's word. They denied the name of Jesus at that church. Boy, I'm glad they took a cross off. I'm glad the Muslim says we got to have, that cross has to go. I'm glad it did. because of the devilish things going on inside that church building. All overseen by, let's just say, a city committee. An interfaith committee made up of Baptist pastors and Methodists and Presbyterians and United Church of Christ and Episcopal. A bunch of lying dogs and devils. And what is verse 9? The very next verse says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." Wow. Again, God talks about the synagogue of Satan. Those who are Jews, they claim they're Jews, but they're not. Because God is talking about spiritual Jews here. People who will believe in him spiritually and have faith in him and be the seed of Abraham and receive the promise given Abraham, which is of Jesus Christ and of eternal salvation and of heavenly Jerusalem. That is the promise. Now we turn to number 10, the 10th and final scripture we're going to be talking about. And that is simply this. I've been talking about it these last 2 weeks. Here it is. The old covenant is vanished. The new covenant is here. Did you know, friends, that the old covenant has vanished? The Jews say we have the old covenant. And some Christians agree with them, say, yes, you have the old covenant. I was listening to a famous televangelist. He was on the Oprah Winfrey show, of all places. She said, can Jews be saved and go to heaven? He said, if they obey the old covenant, they can. Sure, God has provided them the old covenant. That's what the man said, and he was totally mistaken. Surely he was mistaken. He wasn't just lying. But he was wrong. There is no old covenant today. The new covenant has come in Jesus Christ. The new covenant. If you don't believe in the new covenant, you just don't believe. Let me repeat it again. The old covenant was replaced by the new covenant. People write to me all the time. They say, that's replacement theology. You don't believe in replacement theology. Hey, I don't know what you call it. I'm talking about what the Bible says. You call it whatever you want. But it certainly replaces the old covenant. Now, let's just go to the Word of God. You don't want to believe Tex Mars, do you? Well, I could be wrong. I can be mistaken, too. Let's trust God, okay? That's the way to do it. Let's just see what God said about the old covenant and the new covenant. Go to Hebrews. Chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he, that is Jesus Christ, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now, what does it say there? It doesn't deny the old covenant was a good covenant at one time. It was like a tutor, you know, that brought the student to a certain point. But God takes you precept upon precept. And he says the time came when the old covenant was no longer useful because the new covenant had come. The new covenant of Jesus Christ. And that new covenant he's saying here, okay, in verse 6, was more excellent. More excellent. Think about that. The Jew says, I have the old covenant. You can tell him, well, let me tell you of a more excellent ministry. My covenant, is Jesus Christ is the mediator, and it is a better covenant. Wait just a minute. Is your covenant is better than mine? That's right. It's established upon better promises. You get it, my friends? It's more excellent. It's a better covenant. It's established upon better promises. Now, you can go back to the old covenant, the law, and you got to keep every bit of the law. If you don't keep every bit of the law, you're going to go to hell. Well, nobody can keep it. Nobody has ever kept the law. But God still saved some because he does what he wants. Verse 7 says, for if that first covenant, there's more than one covenant, right? But it has been replaced by a better one, you see. For if that first covenant had been faultless,
then should no place have been sought for the second. If the first had been perfect for man, then God wouldn't have needed a second one. But it wasn't perfect. It had a fault. And what was that fault? Jesus Christ's blood was not shed. Now, wait just a minute. Moses talked about the blood of calves and goats. And all of the prophets, and they all talked about the blood being shed and sprinkled about. That was in the temple. Remember that? And that's what they did. They killed the bullocks and the goats, and they sprinkled their blood about and all that. And sprinkling of blood, that was good, wouldn't it? Well, wait just a minute. Which is better? Which is better? The blood of animals or of Jesus Christ? That's precious blood, let me tell you. That's costly blood. That's powerful blood. That can save you. So that first covenant had faults with it. If it had been faultless, then no place would have been found for the second. But God says, okay, I brought you up so far with the first one, and now I've got the second one that will make things perfect. Verse 8 says, for finding fault with them, he found fault with the first covenant. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to make a better covenant, a more excellent, established one, better promises. It's not going to be according to the covenant which I made with your fathers in that day, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. That first covenant, he said, it was not perfect, but you didn't even obey it. You didn't obey the law. You continued not in my covenant, so I didn't give any regard to it. God didn't give any regard to it. But he brought forth Jesus. Verse 10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Verse 13 says, in that he saith, that's God saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. It's vanished away. It's ready to go when Jesus came. Think about that. He saith a new covenant. He's made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. You want to go back to the old covenant? It's vanished. It decayed. It grew rotten. When Jesus came, it's so much better. It was perfect. It's wonderful. There it is, friends. Now you know about the new covenant. Wow. Go out and tell a Jewish friend, there's a new covenant. It's here. It'll make you whole. It'll bring you love. It'll bring you what you've always sought. Hopefully. It'll bring you into the kingdom of God. This is Tex Mars. Been great being with you. We've been talking about the 10 scriptures you will almost never hear preached in churches today. And it's great to bring them to you from God's holy word. So tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.